What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast. Big week in Washington coming up. Eric Bieniemy's introductory press conference on Thursday. Plus, it's the first day of tags being available in the NFL. What the hell does that mean? I'll explain.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It is Washington Football Talk Podcast. Big week coming up for the Commanders. Eric Bieniemy introductory press conference on Thursday. Me and the boys will have a live reaction pod after that. Will be a fun one. Get to hear what he... I mean, the biggest question is, why'd you choose to come here, right? And the skeptics will say, what other options did he have? We're going to do our best to figure that kind of stuff out. The boys are busy this morning, so I'm recording a little bit of a solo pod, but basically I got to catch up with John Clark, who covers the Eagles up in Philadelphia. He's kind of like my counterpart from Channel 4 to Philly for NBC 10, and he's a little more wired into like all of the sports up there, not just the Eagles, but he also covers the Sixers. When I talk to him, he's live at Philly spring training down in Clearwater. So I wanted to talk to him specifically about Josh Harris. Let's be clear, we don't know if Harris is going to buy the Commanders, but he's the only one that we know his name and we know he's actively interested. Like, if there's a mystery bidder, we don't know who that is. And if there is Bezos, we don't know that he's actively interested. So Harris is the one person we can try to gather some information on. And I think you guys are going to enjoy this Harris interview. I found it pretty interesting. I'm really just trying to figure out what kind of owner Harris might be. And I think from what we hear from John Clark, you're going to be encouraged. Who knows if he becomes the owner, but if he did, I think it'd be pretty good news, frankly. That is, to me, the owner, the preferred owner for the organization. I think he would do the best job and has an understanding of professional sports. Like, this dude is in this world. He's in this business. And in Washington, at least, we've already had the rich guy that loves football but doesn't know how to work in pro sports. We've tried that now for two decades plus, and it's been largely a disaster. So you'll get to hear from John talking about Harris in a second. I also wanted to touch on a couple of Eric Bieniemy things and then Deron Payne. We'll start with Payne. Today, timestamp guy, is February 21st, 9:54 a.m. And here's what's going on. It's the first day in the NFL that you can start putting the tag on people. The NFL tag window opens today. Deron Payne is obviously the biggest name that Commanders fans need to consider for a franchise tag. For a D tackle, the franchise tag has a $18.9 million price tag, basically 19 mil. You can do the transition tag for 16 million. For everybody that wants to say it's not a big deal if they tag him, think about the recent history of who's gotten tagged. It's Kirk and it's Sheriff. Kirk got it twice. Sheriff got it once. I'd argue both went poorly. I mean, the Kirk thing was just a never-ending disaster. And the Sheriff thing, he played one more year, went to Jacksonville, made the Pro Bowl. Oh, and by the way, the Commanders' offensive line completely fell apart without him. So you can tell me if you want that the tag's not a big deal and that it'll be okay, but I have a tough time buying it. Not to mention Payne on... I guess on Sunday, the night before the tag opened up, posted something kind of weird via Instagram about, I'm going to need every penny. They tell these guys, and Ron said this about Chase at the Super Bowl. He's like, yeah, you know, we're going to ask these guys to show us, to prove they can do it. Payne did that, right? Like, Payne went out and had an 11.5 sack season. He was a monster all year. And you told him to prove it. He proved it. And now the NFL allows this tag to be kind of weaponized for teams just as a way of keeping a player around where Daron Payne wants his big long-term contract. You know, 1 year at 19 mil sounds great. I would sign that if any of my bosses are listening. But wouldn't you rather have the 4 year 80 mil with 55 mil guaranteed? Because I'm sure he would. And I don't want to get caught up in what is fair when it comes to professional athletes, because fair is a pretty sliding scale and pretty relative. I think Daron will be pissed if he doesn't get it. And it seems like that's the track we're on. And I just don't think it is a good idea. But we'll see what happens. And people that want to say, like, the compensatory formula, that's fine. You tag them and then you'll get a compensatory pick in what would be 25, I think. If he plays in 23, the pick wouldn't be until the next year. But stop lying to yourself and calling that a third-round pick. What happens is the entire third round happens, then the compensatory picks. So they're basically fourth-round picks. And that doesn't sound as cool. If you know you're not going to be able to get a long-term deal done, I would say to go with a non-exclusive franchise tag, let him negotiate with other people, and then you can decide if you want to match that or not. I don't think they will. Could be proven wrong. Obviously, the ownership questions linger over a lot of this stuff. Plus, you just paid John Allen. What are you going to do with Daron? What are you going to do with Sweat? That's a lot of money to be spending on your D-line. They have the space. At some point, they're going to cut Carson, creating a ton of space. Bieniemy. To me, the two biggest questions I have are, why did you choose to come here? What level of autonomy do you have offensively, both with his staff, play calling? Because it's easy to say right now he's got full autonomy. He probably does right now. But Ron talked about how he went to Scott and said, we need to run the ball more. We know that occurred. Bieniemy comes in with a much greater resume than Scott had. But I wonder how that will go. And then there are plenty of people that are skeptical. You know, why would he come here? Why would you leave Mahomes? It looks like the Chiefs are going to promote Matt Nagy and put him in some sort of situation where he is like the heir apparent to Andy Reid. If you can, I mean, like, if you just Google Matt Nagy, like, there's all these reports that he's going to be the coach in waiting. I don't know what that means. Andy Reid doesn't strike me as a dude that's going to go away, but Bieniemy's qualifications are unparalleled. I mean, the guy's a star. He's been an OC of a team that went to three Super Bowls, won two of them, three times been the top offense in the NFL. This past year, I think, is the most incredible. They got rid of Tyreek Hill and still were the top offense in the NFL. That's pretty damn impressive. I don't know. Every time Washington's done a deal, but gotten something from Andy Reid, it has gone the other way. Hopefully this proves incredibly different. But the one question a lot of people have that I don't think you need to worry about is Sam Howell. Now, will they sign another quarterback? Probably. Will they maybe draft one? I think they'll sign like a Tyrod Taylor type, a veteran that can take the snaps if Howell falls apart. But I think this is for Howell. And I think Bieniemy, especially the way he leans on RPOs, I think that'll be really good for Hal. When we did the last pod, Mitch and Pete were expecting significant progress right away. I don't know about that. They got a quarterback we know nothing about and probably need to overhaul their entire offensive line. But I'm excited about Bieniemy. I think it's the biggest splash coming for the Commanders this offseason. And hopefully fans are excited too. All right, here comes my interview with John Clark. Full pod Thursday after the Bieniemy presser. Made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
All right, we're very excited to get to talk to John Clark. NBC 10 up in Philly covers all the Philadelphia sports scene. Fresh off a Super Bowl. Now, granted, it was a loss, but a heck of a season for the Eagles. Now down in Clearwater at Philly spring training. John, how are you, man? Good to catch up.
Doing good. It's been a whirlwind with the Phillies making the World Series and the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Maybe the Sixers can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or something. Keep this Philly run going.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the Sixers because you and I talk a fair amount, especially during football season. I always see in Philly and then you come down to FedEx Field and we catch up around the Eagles and the Commanders. But I think I've got Commanders questions about the Sixers. obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but it has been strongly reported that Philadelphia 76ers owner Josh Harris is a serious contender to buy the Commanders. Just let's start super surface level. What do you make of those reports? Does that sound like something that makes sense to you as somebody that's covered the Sixers for a long time?
Yeah, I'm told that he is interested. I mean, obviously he has the Sixers. He has the Devils. He's in the English Premier League. He has a small stake in a team there. And he has a minority stake, a small stake in the Steelers. Obviously, he got involved in the process for the Denver Broncos to purchase them. Didn't work out. But yeah, I'm told that he is interested. He wants to build his sports portfolio. But beyond that, I think there's still a little bit of an expectation here, especially that Jeff Bezos is going to get involved and enter that bidding and become a huge player. So, yeah, there's interest from Josh Harris. He wants to build his whole portfolio. But I think there's that cloud hanging over that Jeff Bezos could eventually get involved and take it over.
Well, it's interesting, too, because Harris was in on the Broncos. And then kind of at the last minute, the Walmart fortune, the heirs to the Walmart fortune got involved and bought that team. And now you've got a similar scenario with an incredibly rich person in Bezos kind of looming over this thing. We don't know what will happen, but what kind of owner has Harris been with the Sixers?
Well, I'll tell you first, you know, 2011, I believe it was, he bought the Sixers for under $300 million. And now it's worth, let's say, around $3 billion or so. So an incredible investment. He knows about buying a distressed company. That's what he does. And then building it up. So I would say there was growth with Josh Harris as an owner. He may have had a few inexperienced people in positions, high positions. But look, when they wanted to go out and start getting it right, they went and got one of the best GMs in the business in Daryl Morey. Then they went out and got what they thought was the best coach at the time in Doc Rivers, who had just become available. And from what I can see, he lets Daryl Morey do all of the things with the basketball operations. And this is a team that continuously is knocking on the door, trying to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You could say that Joel Embiid, with perfect health, they probably would have already been there. They've been unlucky with injuries, but this is another team this year that has a chance of getting there, the fourth best record in the NBA. So I would say he has grown as an owner, and he lets some of the best people that he hires do their job. And I don't see, and I haven't heard of anything where he's involved in saying, you have to go get this player. I think he's very aggressive. Say, hey, if you want to make a trade, if you want to add more salary, we'll spend whatever. So I think he is giving his people whatever they need to succeed.
The words you're saying to Commanders fans in Washington about the owner letting the best people in charge make the decisions, that would be music to a lot of ears down here in Washington. What about, has there been any, was he owner during like the trust the process phase when they completely tore it down with the Sixers?
Yeah, look, he hired Sam Hinkie, and Sam Hinkie came in with a bold plan And I got to tell you, it's one of the biggest fights here in Philly, debates in Philly between people, whether you do the process or don't do the process. But in my personal opinion, I think the process worked because you got Joel Embiid, right, who is a perennial MVP contender every year. Ben Simmons was a top pick. Man, who knows what happened to him? I mean, that could be a whole show. But Joel Embiid is a crown jewel, as they called him, in the NBA. And so they're building around him. So, yes, he went in with Sam Hinkie. Sam Hinkie had a bold plan. And at some point, though, Josh Harris and ownership said, okay, we need to push this forward. And maybe Sam wasn't doing it quick enough. Maybe Sam didn't bring in enough veterans for the young guys. Josh Harris said, we need to change this up and we need to go with a more aggressive plan. But look, what Josh Harris has done is he built a completely new state-of-the-art practice facility. And then, as you probably have heard, he doesn't own the Wells Fargo Center. He's a tenant. So they have a plan to build a Center City new arena. Don't know if that's going to go through, but he definitely wants to be top class. He definitely wants to have the best practice facility, wants to have the best arena and own it. So I do think that if he was to take over the Washington Commanders, that he would try to do the absolute best and get a new stadium built somehow, because that's what he wants. He wants to own a top-notch stadium.
Last one then on Harris. What's he like as a community guy, a community person? Because owning a sports team is a lot like a public trust. And unfortunately, the trust between this city and the Snyder family broke down a long time ago. Community involvement, charitable stuff, and just relationships with local politics. Because, I mean, I know in Philly, you're juggling Philly, PA, Jersey. You got a lot of people to serve there.
Yeah, and look, Philadelphia, I know they want their owner to live here. And Josh doesn't live here. He lives in New York and he comes in on his helicopter. And he's probably doing the same things that other owners do, but Philly wants somebody who lives in Philly. So that's really, I think, the knock against him here in Philly. Fans want him to be here, but he has done everything top class. He has hired all the right people. And he does give back a lot of money to the community and programs and Penn. He went to Penn, the Wharton School, and he gives back a lot of money, him and his wife, and they do a lot of charity events every single year with the Sixers to raise money. So I don't know if he's going to become the owner of the Commanders, and I doubt he would live there, but I do see with the changes of the Sixers that I think he would be getting a new stadium, probably a new practice facility, because he listens to the players. He wants everybody to have that top-notch performance center. But he does give back to the community. I would say Philly would love for Josh Harris to live in the Philly area and not come in from New York, because, you know, Philly has a problem with New York.
Sure.
But I think he would be a great owner for, let's just call it, a distressed company like the Washington Commanders.
So much stress, dude. So much stress. Hey, John, thank you so much for the time, man. Enjoy Clearwater, and maybe we'll see you at a Phillies Nats game before too long.
You got it. That would be fun. Good talking with you, JP.
Thanks a lot, man.
Let's just call it a distressed company like the Washington Commanders.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.